Parts of our region can be downright confining when it comes to travel options. With lots of narrow valleys, there's often one way, maybe two, to get from town to town, but that's by motor vehicle. If you're on foot, a few more options may present themselves, and trail lovers in the Rogue Valley are working to present another option for people who want to get from Jacksonville to Ashland overland. The option would be called the Jack Ash Trail. Its parent is the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association. Hope Robertson is the board president of SUTA and our guest in the studio here. Hi, Hope.
Hi, good to be here.
Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. Jim Ryland is also with SUTA, the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association. He's a volunteer who oversees trail maintenance and apparently a whole lot more. Jim, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning.
So, Hope, why don't you give us a little bit of the history of SUTA, Siskiyou Upland Trails Association?
Well, we started thinking about this idea in 2009 and came up with the idea, since we have great trails in Jacksonville and a wonderful trail system in Ashland, which is about to get even better. And we thought, with the ridgeline, with fantastic views of the Rogue Valley and the Applegate Valley, why not run a trail, since there used to be a trail between Wagner Butte and Anderson Butte, between the fire lookouts. We thought we'd take advantage of that historic trail and turn it into a trail that people could bicycle, hike, or ride their horses on. So we got started on that.
So the old trail between Wagner Butte and Anderson Butte, between the fire lookouts you mentioned, in fact, if you climb to the top of either mountain, you can still see foundations
right
for those structures. Was that just for foot traffic? Was it ever for vehicle traffic?
It was never for vehicle traffic. It was horses and stuff supplying, or people walking between the two fire lookouts. Then years later, BLM came in, and when they put in their road system on the ridgetop, part of that trail got obliterated. So there is a road up for a section of it, but the part over Bald Mountain, Point Mountain, and other sections of Anderson Butte are still there and are still used. So, and we actually think that trail far predated the fire lookout. That it was used just for trading going back and forth, and that the Indians even had trails up there.
I was going to ask you if it dated back to Native American days, and there is some evidence that it did.
Yeah, and we have some early maps that show this trail.
How high does the elevation get? And it's quite a jaggedy line, too, as you look at the proposal for the Jack Ash Trail.
Well, you're testing me. I'm trying to remember the exact elevation of
5,000 feet.
5,000 feet.
5,000 feet.
Which puts it about 3,000 feet plus above the valley floor generally.
Right.
So it's a healthy hike just to get up to it, or will be a healthy hike to get up to it. So, Jim, help us out and help us understand what has to be done here. It sounds like you've got bits and places where there's been clearing over the years, where there were trails in existence once. How big a task is this in terms of linear mileage you'd have to construct actual trail?
A large part of the trail is actually on existing gravel roads or timber roads, logging roads, but a lot of it, there's probably 3 or 4 miles in phase one that are specifically new trails that we have to cut into the hillsides or basically carve into the landscape, because it's pretty hilly terrain. So there's a lot of, when you're building a trail on a hillside, you need to do a little bit of a cut and fill so you have a level surface.
So you take away one part of the hillside and put it downhill of you, in a sense.
Minimize that as much as possible.
Right, but you have to make a shelf, essentially, for a trail.
Exactly.
All right. That sounds like a lot of work here. So how much, and I know I asked about the linear thing, and I think you were indicating about 50 miles worth of trail. Are we talking, Hope, here?
Well, when the whole Jack Ash Trail is built, it'll be about 50 miles from Jacksonville to Ashland. We're doing it in three phases because there's a big process involved before you can even put a shovel in the ground, where you have to do a very careful environmental assessment. So
is this a NEPA process, a National yes. Environmental Policy Act process?
Yeah, okay. Most of this trail is on the Bureau of Land Management land, and they've been incredibly cooperative and helpful with us. And there is a scoping document out now, which essentially says, this is the project that we're proposing on federal land. If you have any concerns, submit comments, and then an environmental impact statement will be done and prepared. So that will hopefully happen through most of this year, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that maybe we'll have a decision one way or another before the end of the year.
That soon?
Well, I'm hoping. We'll see. It depends upon the various surveys that have to be done.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a fairly non-controversial sort of thing, but I mean, what are some of the things you might anticipate as potential obstacles along the way?
Well, you always have to be concerned. I mean, aside from trying to design the trail so it's interesting and takes in lots of interesting features, you always have to be concerned whether you're going through spotted owl habitat and you might disturb nesting areas, or if there are rare plants along the way, cultural artifacts. So all of these things have to be reviewed by the specialists at BLM, or we have to hire for that to be done. It's exactly the same process that went on in Ashland for the Forest Service did for the Ashland Woodland Trail system that's currently much further down the road than we are. But you have to look at all the different environmental issues and the soil. How stable are the soils so you've got a long-term sustainable trail that won't erode in heavy rains? You have to consider slope. There's a lot of things that go into it. I thought you just, you know, I always used to just go out and hop on the trail and I didn't think about all the things that were involved, but it's pretty complex.
Somebody's been out there and done some work ahead of you when you get on those trails.
Yes.
We also want to make sure the trails are, there's never a maintenance-free trail because Mother Nature doesn't get the memo about not growing into the trail corridor. So we try to design them so that there's less erosion. When we do brushing, to make sure that the brush doesn't grow back too quickly, so we're not there every year.
We're talking about the proposed Jack Ash Trail, which would connect Jacksonville and Ashland, hence the name. You do have to say it carefully. Hope Robertson and Jim Rylander with the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association, or SUTA. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. If you prefer email, that's jx@jeffnet.org. You can also check us out on Facebook and see a picture of Hope and Jim smiling back at you from our studio from just a few minutes ago. I'm curious then about trail maintenance, because this is apparently your strong suit, Jim. How much work does it take over the course of a given year to maintain, say, a given mile of trail?
That's a good question. It depends on how many trees fall down on the trail, which happens quite often. I think a trail system that's in place already, for example, the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail that we're currently maintaining, if we can visit it with our crews, our volunteer crews, once every 2 years and do the job we'd like to do, which is take it out to the corridor with that the national or the Oregon Scenic Trails status asks us to do, which I think is 4 feet from center line on both sides and then 8 or 10 feet tall so that horsemen don't become headless. Then we're looking at visiting each trail section probably once every 2 years or so. But it's a fair number of volunteer hours. I would guess 20 hours per mile or so. Wow. Every year.
Okay, so that's significant. And you're talking potentially 50 miles of trail here on the Jack Ash Trail multiplied by the 20 hours. You're not going to do, obviously, all the miles in 1 year.
We're recruiting volunteers as we speak.
How big, then, Hope, is the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association? How many people do you have who are really enthusiastic about this, and how many of them are young and strong enough to do a lot of the work you need to have done?
Well, actually, ever since the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail has really gotten quite a bit of publicity, and especially last year being named a state Oregon or an Oregon State Scenic Trail, our membership, or we aren't really a membership organization, but our volunteers have really increased. So on average, our work parties have maybe 20 to 25 people. But we probably have 300 or 400 people on our mailing list. And, you know, anybody who wants to join our mailing list, we send out very few emails, can always do so through our website. We send out trail announcements and so on. But it's an interesting phenomenon. Most of the people that show up are probably retired. We are getting more young bicyclists. A lot of runners use the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail, so they've started showing up. Because we do have a race that's run every year, sponsored by the Southern Oregon Runners, the Run the Ditch 5 and 10 miler. So that's brought in a bunch of new young recruits. So.
It sounds like you have some fun in the work parties. I was reading some of the material on the website, and there are just things that, again, you don't often think about when you're just out there enjoying the trail. Things like having to cut back enough so they don't get tree whiplash, so the person in front of you doesn't send a branch going into your face.
It's always an issue. And
we try to stay within shouting distance of each other when we're working on the trail so people can hear the jokes and the punchlines. This is a lot of fun. We do have a lot of fun on those trails.
Otherwise, there's a lot of yelling. Can you say that again? I missed that part. So it would be, I'm sure, a bit more comprehensive and you'd have to whack through some brush, but do people actually walk now from Jacksonville to Ashland or vice versa over what is approximately the route?
No. Is the short answer. There's
a fair amount of bushwhacking would be involved.
Right. Mm-hmm. The part on the ridgeline, you can go out and walk, and we even have a description of one of the walks on Bald Mountain on our website with a map and so on. But for a large portion of it, you'd have to be pretty hardy to want to go through the manzanita and other things that have grown over what was the old trail. But the road section, which has spectacular views along Anderson Butte, anybody can go up there now and you can drive up. There are a number of access points where you can drive up from Wagner Creek Road, Anderson Creek Road, and Anderson Butte Road on the Rogue Valley side. Mm-hmm. And then you can come up from the Applegate Valley side also.
It is very pretty. As you look south, you can see the whole Siskiyou Crest. So it's very much an impressive place to be and a great place to put a trail. But obviously a lot of work left to do the trail. Is the route itself locked up? I mean, have you figured out this is exactly where the Jackass Trail would go, or is there still some potential wiggle room? And what have been some of the issues? I guess you've had some issues with land ownership, I understand.
The route is not locked up. That's why we're going through an environmental impact statement. So, for example, if during the wildlife surveys or botanical surveys they discover there's a rare plant and right where we ran the corridor because we've got it all flagged, then we'll have to move it. And we have one volunteer who's been extraordinary going out, Dwayne Malams, who's been out thrashing around on Anderson Butte for months, flagging it, trying to make sure you stay at this particular slope or grade that BLM requires. So it's definitely not locked up. We've made quite a bit of effort because there are other trails out there that the Motorcycle Riders Association have used. And so we've made sure that they have their trails, we have ours, and so we tried to make sure we keep our trails separate and we don't impinge on their recreational opportunities.
Have there had to be some moves already to avoid things like spotted owl habitat, for example? I know that you're somewhere close, I think, the Listening Tree Trail in there somewhere.
The Listening Tree Trail is right at the base of one section of it. No, we haven't had any. We haven't found any yet, but we're just about to start all these surveys, so we will find out in the next few months. Whether or not there are any cultural artifacts that we don't know about. But we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Hope Robertson and Jim Rylander with the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association. We're talking about the future Jackass Trail being considered now and under the process of going through paperwork and public input and all that sort of thing, which I guess lasts until February 2nd. Is that what you said?
Hope? Yes.
All right. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange right now with questions or comments. We'll take a few more minutes with Hope and Jim. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook and you can see Hope and Jim from just a few minutes ago. So I haven't really nailed down here who gets to use the Jackass Trail as envisioned, and will it be the same users? Will it look a lot in just general layout similar to the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail?
Yes, except it won't be on a ditch. For the most part, the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail is a trail that was used by maintenance workers maintaining the ditch 100 years ago.
So it's fairly flat, it sounds like.
Very flat, except for those parts that bypass over private property. The Jackass will resemble those parts that pass over private property because it's much more hilly. But it'll still be a corridor that's passable by people on bicycles or hikers or runners or people on horseback.
It sounds like a fairly significant. You're saying to the standards of the Oregon State Scenic Trails, you're talking 4 feet from center line in either direction?
That's the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail is what has that status. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that just a rough gauge, if you stand in the center of the trail and put your arms straight out, if you don't contact anything, you're in good shape. That's what we're looking for, because a lot of the brush that we're cutting back grows at almost 2 feet a year. And that's one of the reasons we have to go back every other year to make sure that 2 feet doesn't impinge on on the trail corridor. It also improves sight lines, because people who are running or bicycling on any of the trails, if they're coming around a corner fast and there's a lot of brush, they don't see anyone else on the trail until they're right on top of them.
Have you gotten to a point where you can stagger maintenance on the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail, for example, so that I know it's going to end up sort of like painting the Bay Bridge, that once you're done painting on the east end, you start again and begin to paint again from the west end.
We're now in our fifth year of maintaining the trail, and yes, we are staggering it. We just don't have enough volunteer hours in a year to do all 30-some miles of trail plus access trails.
So you need to get more people who are interested in the trails themselves also interested in maintaining them, it sounds like, to be able to
keep them. Would be lovely.
Now, talk, if you would, Jim. I understand that kiosks have really cropped up along the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail, which is the one that is actually in existence now, as opposed to the Jackass Trail, which is a future thing. What kinds of kiosks and how much work has that involved on your behalf and anybody else who's been helping you?
Well, it's an information kiosk. It's a map case, essentially, that's about 3 feet by 4 feet or so, with a small roof on it to protect the the contents from weather, and it just has a map of the trail plus announcements about trail work parties, rules about courtesy regarding when horses and bikers and hikers meet, who's supposed to yield to who, issues concerning not leaving litter or reporting down trees so that we can get out there with a chainsaw and cut them out. And I think the other thing is we've got recently we started adding things like footprints. There's
animal tracks.
Animal tracks, so people could see if there's snow. If we ever get snow, they can go out and see animal tracks in the trail. But we'll have very soon we'll have a wildflower brochure that'll be in the trail, so people can identify the flowers they see.
So in the circumstance you were just describing, where you information about who yields to who does have the right of way on a multiple use trail like that?
Well, horses are the most neurotic. I can say that because I ride them.
Okay.
So everybody yields to horses because they look at bicyclists or runners like aliens from outer space. So if people would just stop and talk to the horse, it really makes a huge difference. So that's the primary thing, that everyone yields to a horse and gets up and away from the trail if they can, so that the horse is not threatened.
The horses spook just a little bit when they're around other trail users?
Well, sometimes they can, especially if a bicycle whips around a corner real fast. It's a real issue.
It's like they're popping out of non-existence into existence.
Right, and they're quiet. Mm-hmm. So it's just really helpful. That's why the line of sight is also important for horses. If they see something coming, it's not as scary for them.
It's always a good idea just to shout out a hello to people from 30 or 40 yards away so you don't startle them when you're running or bicycling on the trail itself. It can be a little bit surprising.
We'll take a few more minutes here with Jim Ryland and Hope Robertson from the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association talking about the Jackass Trail. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the region or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You've got a situation with the Jackass Trail that you don't have with the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail, which, as you pointed out, it's going to be a bit less flat. What efforts are you making as you survey to try to make sure that you're not having some gigantically steep sections? Or are you not trying that hard to do that? I mean, we're dealing with the topography that you've been given.
We're trying very hard not to do that because the trails aren't sustainable when they get past 8 or 9 degrees in slope.
Because they'll erode and things
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, erosion. So if we can do a fair number of switchbacks that are long and interesting, and mostly people walking uphill don't run out of breath too quickly if they're at a fairly gentle slope. Sometimes we might exceed that slope up to 15 degrees for very short stretches, but for the most part it stays pretty mildly graded, and it is a challenge.
And BLM does have standards for trails, which we are following. So they kind of dictate the grade, and they go out, and they've already started. Zach Million at the Medford BLM has been out and hiked the first one chunk of the Jackass Trail to make sure, with an engineer, and we use a clinometer to make sure that our grade doesn't exceed what BLM feels is allowable for this user group.
But at some point, there would have to be a steep section or two, it seems like, to be able to get up off the valley floor from 2,000 to 5,000 feet, no?
Well, we're not starting at the valley floor.
Right.
So we're already up there quite a ways. Once you drive up to the takeout points, where the future trailheads will be, you'll be up on the flanks of Anderson Butte, for example, or maybe even up on the ridgetop. So once this is done, the various trailheads will actually be up fairly high.
So you're not having to
get yourself.
And once you're on the ridge itself, it's more of a rolling terrain than it is going up all the time.
All right, the thing I haven't asked about yet up to this point is cost. I mean, what the ultimate cost is going to be. Because you're talking about, I assume, some heavy equipment costs in here to be able to do some sculpting of the landscape. You're probably going to have to lay some granite in there or something to put things down. But I'm getting shakes of heads no here. So there are costs, though, to build any trail. Where does the money come from?
Well, we'll be applying for grants, and we do fundraising. Quite what we've done in the new trail sections we've built to connect to the Sterling Mine Ditch Trail, like the Grub Gulch Trail, is that we've contracted with crews that would come in. The Jackson County Community Justice crews helped put in the Grub Gulch Trail and at least do the initial digging and clearing. So, there are a variety, and also the Job Council provided youth crews, and they did a fabulous job digging in a trail. So we try to hire local groups that will help us dig in the trails. But yes, the cost can be significant depending upon how much technical work you have to do, but no heavy equipment if we can possibly avoid it.
Very little gravel gets placed on the trails. I mean, it's the soils up there relatively well, fairly stable and well suited to trail surface, tread surface.
Mm-hmm. Is it decomposed granite, that sort of thing up there?
Probably a whole bunch of different things. The whole Siskiyou Mountains are a really weird variety of soil types, so it's probably there's some of that up there as well as clay and everything else.
And a lot of rock.
Okay, well, that helps if you got a lot of rock to begin with. We talked about the good relations you apparently have with the Bureau of Land Management. Have there been any issues with private landowners? Because with the way that BLM works in that strange checkerboard pattern from the old railroad land grants, there must be little sections of private land in there you're either going across corners of or going around.
Actually, most of the Jackass Trail is on either the Bureau of Land Management or for this next phase, as we get closer to Ashland, the Forest Service. There are a few tiny places as we start moving towards Jacksonville where we're working with landowners to get easements. And we have our first easement, which takes us out to Griffin Lane. And it's just a very short section. But you know, it's a slow process getting easements because people are understandably concerned, even though we found certainly trails enhance property values.
So if everything goes perfectly, when could the Jackass Trail open?
I'm hoping maybe next year.
Really, that soon?
Yeah.
By 2016.
That's my mental target.
Right. Looking forward to it.
So if people want to make public comments until February 2nd, where do they make them?
The U.S. BLM, and there's an address. If you go right onto the BLM website, there's links.
Okay. We will make sure that we put that up on our webpage. Our blurb about this particular segment will include a link to that comment area by the time the day is out. I want to thank you both for joining us, Hope Robertson and Jim Ryland from the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck.
Thanks very much for
Thank
having
you.
Us.